Good morning. We are continuing with our sermon series, which is looking at the different names of God. And this morning, I want to dive straight in to the verse of this morning, which is Psalm 91, verse 1. And it says, bear with me. There we go. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Just take a moment, just read that again, if you would. This psalm is believed to have been written by Moses. We don't know because it isn't actually assigned an author. But what theologians do is they go back to the previous psalm, which was written by Moses, and they believe that the language that is in Psalm 91 is indicative of the style of Moses. And he uses the word Almighty, and that word Almighty translates as El Shaddai. And it reminds me of being in Farnham Vineyard many years ago, and I think, Liam and Ali, you were leading us in that El Shaddai song, and of which only half the song people can actually pronounce. It goes silent and then it all picks up again for El Shaddai. But El Shaddai means God Almighty, the all-sufficient one. And Shaddai derives from the word shad, and that is a Hebrew word for breast. And we're given this beautiful illustration of how God, like a mother with a newborn, is the source of all our nourishment, all our sustenance. He is all we need. And the Message version reads, "You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow." You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. And I like this picture, so today's talk is called Shaddai's Shadow. Nearly 2 years ago, I had a dream that God fortunately woke me up from. It was a really good dream, but as I woke up, I felt God say, "I want you to write down what you have heard." And as I started writing, God just revealed more and more and more. And over an hour, I was just writing. And essentially, what was happening is Jesus was just calling the church back to him, back to where he dwells, that we would remain with him. And as I was preparing this talk, God reminded me of two of those lines from that dream. "You've not lingered long enough, or searched my heart deep enough, sat at my table and fed enough, nor met at the well and drank enough." And I don't know if it's just me, but I'm sure that that's indicative of some of our faith, that we've experienced his goodness in measure. We've experienced his faithfulness. We've feasted with him. We've drunk with him. He's sustained us in seasons, but we've not dwelt long enough. The word to dwell really means to abide. It means to permanently choose to settle, to sit down with God in his shelter that he has established and be with him. And in there, we rest in his shadow. At the end of January this year, God spoke to Guy and I separately about what it looks like to fully settle with him. And it came as a really significant challenge in our lives where he called us to settle everything with him. Our vision, our will, our desire and dreams, our finances and our very best plans. And it took all of me to settle all of me. Does that make sense? It takes every part of us to settle fully with God. And I think what many of us do, and we do really well, is we give God access to parts of our lives and then the rest we invest in the world, because that way we can control where the security is. And I've been a Christian since I was a little girl, and only now I'm just beginning to realise that I haven't fully yielded to God. I have not established a place in his shelter where I'm prepared to dwell. But he's doing a significant work in us, literally in this very season. And it's amazing. It's amazing the revelations that come up. If I'm not fully in, then I'm not settled with him. And this psalm isn't about just visiting God once a week to tick off, you know, that religious obligation that I've checked in with God. This is a permanent settling with him. And the blessing of this verse isn't for all of us. And that's a challenge. You see, when the storm comes, that's when we go and try and find his shelter. But what God's encouraging us through Moses is that we reside with him permanently. We submit everything, all of our lives, before him, so that when the storm comes, we pass the night with him. And that's what the shadow bit looks like. We pass the night with the Father. So the first mention of El Shaddai is in Genesis 17:1. And we have to take careful note of when God reveals a name for the first time. God appears to Abraham after a 13-year silence. And if we go back 24 years, Abraham is back home in a place called Ur. He's 75 years old. Is there anyone that's 75 or over? Could you just wave a hand at me? If God was to wake you up this morning and say, I want you to walk 600 miles and I want you to leave everything, I wonder just how many of you would do that. I'm sure you're all extremely faithful and you would do it immediately. But that's what God called Abraham to do. So he left with his wife, Sarai, and they walked 600 miles to the land of Canaan. And when he got there, when he got to Canaan, he met with God again, and God said, look around you. Look around you. This land I'm going to give to you, it's going to be my blessing to you. You're going to be a great nation, Abraham. Your name will be great. Your descendants will be many. And he just stands there and he can see the promise of God. He stood in the promise of God. Isn't that amazing? What a blessing to look around and then to have your father say, that is yours. He stood in the promise. But he didn't linger long enough. Because shortly after, famine hit Canaan and Abraham panicked. And so what he did is he looked to man for the source of provision and sustenance, and he went to Egypt. And on that road to Egypt, he looked at his very beautiful wife, Sarai, and he said to her, you need to pretend to be my sister. We can't tell Pharaoh that you are my wife. If so, he will kill me and take you as his own. And so Abraham leaves the promise and the covenant of God behind him, and he walks to where he believes the provision is. And on the way, they craft this plan that is less than honest. And sure enough, in Egypt, Pharaoh casts an eye over Sarai and takes him for his own, but spares Abraham's life. But that... there were tremendous consequences on Pharaoh and his household. The Lord sent serious disease and inflicted the family with serious disease because of what was happening. And then later on, so they return back to Canaan, but Abraham also is so desperate, him and his wife are so desperate to have children that they bypass the will of God and they try and force this parenthood journey for themselves. Abraham sleeps with the maid servant Hagar, which Alice spoke about so well just a few weeks ago. So chapter 17 of Genesis, the 13-year silence after Ishmael was born. There were 13 years that followed of silence. There's no dialogue between Abraham and God. And then God stands before Abraham and says, I'm still here. He says, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. The first words to come out of God's mouth after 13 years is, I am El Shaddai. Next comes the command to Abraham, walk with me and be blameless. And then comes the promise, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your number. And I want to just break down these 3 points because this encounter happened thousands of years ago, but what relevance does it have to our lives? What can we glean from this encounter between God and Abraham that is going to be significant for us? The first one, El Shaddai. God had seen that Abraham was lacking faith. Abraham was incredibly faithful. At 75 years old, he leaves everything and pursues God. He's incredibly faithful, but at times he just drops the ball. Fear kicks in. The pressures of life kick in. His wife's deepest desires kick in, and his eyes are taken off the will of God. And Abraham was building and gleaning outside of God's will. So in the conversation that follows, the whole of chapter 17, El Shaddai makes it really clear who is all-powerful, who is all-sufficient. And rather than reading the whole of chapter 17 now, what I've done is I've highlighted every little bit that is only that can only happen through El Shaddai. It can't happen through man. It can only be fulfilled through him. I will make my covenant between me and you. This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you. I will establish. I will give. I will be. Later on the next slide, I will bless. He's talking about his wife, Abraham's wife, Sarah. I will bless her, making her the mother of nations. I will establish. I will surely bless. I will make. I will establish. Do you get the picture? Only El Shaddai can fulfill this incredible covenant with Abraham. And what I love is, despite his failings, God picks up old Abraham at 99 years old, sets him before him, draws him in back into the shadow, and he reveals his plan and purpose to him there. Why does he do this? Because when God's word goes out, it does not return empty. It never returns empty. God made a covenant with Abraham 24 years earlier. He spoke a word, he spoke a promise, and he always fulfills. He accomplishes what he desires and achieves what he purposes. The second point is that God asks Abraham to walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. The New King James Version actually says, be perfect. And it seems really unfair that God is setting the bar so high for Abraham. Surely he will fail. It's not actually, although God's desire is for all of us to be so transformed into the likeness of Jesus that we no longer sin, the word that God is using here is tamim, and that's the word for perfect and blameless, and it means complete, whole, without blemish and undefiled. So whilst God's desire is for us to live lives without sin, this is really a matter of the heart. And I love what Matthew Henry, who's a Bible commentator, says on this. He talks about the covenant of grace being well ordered in this encounter. The covenant of grace being well ordered, where what actually God considers most important is the sincerity and integrity of Abraham's heart. And that is what he is so much more excited. That's what he desires more than anything else, is the sincerity and integrity of our heart. We are human. We are going to sin. We are going to mess up. We're going to lose sight of God's promise. At times we might walk away from God's promise. But when he calls Abraham at 99 years old, he says, walk before me, so that when all that happens, it's under my watchful eye, where I can see every deed and action and thought. And my grace is sufficient. And when you screw up, it's under my watchful eye, and you will return to me, and we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, because what I have established, and this is what he's saying to us, what I have established in you and the promises that I have spoken to you, they will be fulfilled. Remain in me. Be so close to me. My gaze is hovering over you. Be aware that my gaze is hovering over you. El Shaddai is truly all sufficient and he lacks nothing. He is enough. And I just wonder how many of us really consider that to be our expression of faith, that he is enough. And so that is the only way we can live. Is that the only way you can live, where you surrender everything to him? If you need God's help, like me, to walk as blamelessly as possible, then we just need to ask him. And El Shaddai will give you every opportunity to meet his high standard. Every opportunity. When you're tempted, just call out to him. He doesn't want us to do this on his own. On our own. Number three, we see that the promise is confirmed. And the Lord says to Abraham, it's in my presence that there is great fruit. In me there is nourishment. In my presence I will confirm what I have promised. And God's been speaking to me over the last couple of years about a promise that he's given me, about what he is building, what he is establishing. And it's really exciting, and it's just this conversation that I'm having with God and no one else, apart from everyone here. But my point is that it's easy for me to look to the world and to be tantalized by what I perceive to be a bypass to that blessing. You know, God, when he opens up our eyes to what lies ahead in our lives, and he reveals promises to us, the enemy is going to create a replica without the blessing at the end. But the enemy will always show us a bypass to what we perceive to be the blessing. And when we get there, it isn't there. Because he wants to distract us from obedience. He wants to take us away from blessing and promise and covenant with the Lord. And so it's really easy. I'm so easily distracted. I'm so easily tantalized by what the world offers. But I'm also really aware that the bypass is a road to Egypt. And there lies curses and serious disease, and I don't want that. So I return to the Father, and then when I've been with him long enough, he reveals and he confirms the promises to me. And that's what he did with Abraham. He confirmed the covenant. We need to be really aware about committing our time and our energy and our money when we step onto the bypass. We need to be very discerning about what it is that God has promised us and his means of us laying hold of that. There are very serious consequences when we try to create in our strength what God can do with ease in his own strength. And Egypt and Pharaoh, they saw deceit, and they were inflicted with serious disease because Abraham and Sarah chose a bypass to God's promise. And likewise, Hagar suffered tremendously because Abraham and Sarah took a bypass to parenting that God didn't want them to take. So we just need to be discerning, and we need to guard those promises that God is speaking to us about. But what I love in the whole of chapter 17 is this idea that El Shaddai, he desires fruitfulness. What God declares, he sustains, and what he promises, he fulfills. He had said to Abraham, you're going to have a great nation. You're going to be the father of many. And through Abraham and his sons, Ishmael, Isaac, and the other ones, there were the Midianites, the Midianites, the Moabites, the Ammonites. There are lots of ites, tribes going on all through Abraham. And on a spiritual level, Abraham is a father to us. He laid down a model of righteousness and faithfulness from which many of us are encouraged to pursue Jesus. And God cannot lie. He does not lie. He is unchanging. Malachi 3 verse 6. So where he promises to make nations, he makes nations. Where he promises to give, he provides. What he promises to bless, he blesses. Where he promises to be, he dwells. And I am confident today that God is gathering us as a church closer to him, fixing his eyes upon us, that we will hear and we will trust in his ability, desire, and means of sustaining us and our lives and our families and our households. El Shaddai is the all-sufficient one, and he desires fruitfulness in our lives. This next slide is a conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. He was talking about being the vine, lots and lots of grapes growing off him, and God is the gardener. And I've hidden the text again because I just want to pull out, this is how important fruitfulness is. God desires us to be fruitful. In verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, God prunes, that it will bear more fruit. In verse 5, the next one, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So we've got more fruit, we've got much fruit. In verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit. And then in verse 16, it says, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. So we've got fruit, we've got more fruit, we've got much fruit, we've got everlasting fruit. If we return to the very first verse, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We can fully trust when we abide with God in his shelter. He has everything that we need. And we are called to be fruitful so that he is glorified through everything that we do and everything that we have. And where he blesses us, where he blesses our finances, where he blesses our home, and where he blesses our children, it's for his glory. It comes from him and it's all for him.